Yeah. Here we go. On a Friday, the John Curley Sherry Elicker Show. Thank you, one and all. Coming along for the ride, you write to us. We do love to hear from you. Unicycle Mike, I know you're out there. Your crazy mustache and your weird obsession with unicycles. Write to us at MyNorthWest.com. You can text as well. Comment in the State Roofing text line, 1-888-973-5476. Driving out, driving, I don't care. The Boston thing.
Four.
We're allowed to do, well, yeah, sure.
Sure.
Petrich Farm sure. Remembers. Okay, let's see. The Supreme Court says, you know what? No, we're going to throw out Roe v. Wade. There's nothing in the Constitution that guarantees you the right to have an abortion. You know, of all the rights that you do have, why is this? It's interesting. This is the one right that you make the government give money for. But now is people that really love democracy get a chance to vote on this, and you have better control over what you want for your voice gets heard now, rather than having nine men back in 1973 decide, you know, what is viable. You know, they're trying to, what is it, 24 weeks, we do that. Viability begins to change. And think about it this as well. Next time there's a Supreme Court justice, we won't have this show of, Senator, I might have to rule on this. And, you know, remember that was the litmus test. Oh, where are they going to be on abortion? Now, guess what? Poof, it's gone. You don't have to worry about it. Supreme Court doesn't have to deal with it. The two biggest victories that the Democrats had was not in the legislators and was not in the House, wasn't in the Senate. It was in the court. Gay rights and abortion. Two big wins. So now this one goes back to the people, and the people have an opportunity to decide on this. I don't believe gay rights is going to come back in again, because the thing that made people most upset were the group of people that said it is murder. That's a human life. That's not a clump of cells. That is a human being, and the state has an obligation to protect all life. So that's kind of why you had, you know, 500,000 women every single year bundling up, getting on buses and marching around. There's no other case that I can think of that every single year people would protest that came out of the Supreme Court.
Well, the three liberal judges that dissented warned that this decision is going to have consequences beyond this. Here's what they said. They said no one should be confident that this majority is done with its work. The right Roe and Casey recognized does not stand alone. To the contrary, the court has linked it for decades to other settled freedoms involving bodily integrity, familial relationships, and procreation. And of course, Clarence Thomas came out and said that he believed that gay marriage and, you know, the contraception laws should be reviewed. Those with due process should be, you know, looked at. I don't think anybody right. else on the court feels the same way he does. John Roberts agreed with the majority, 5-4, but yeah. He said that the Mississippi case should be upheld. However, in a separate opinion, he said that the court should not have overturned Roe.
This is Roberts.
Yes.
Yeah. He liked the fact that, listen, you know, it's going to be too divisive and too upsetting, and just leave it as it is. And it's been there for a long time. He said the same thing when it came to Obamacare, when they said to him, hey, look at this. You put the word state in there. It gets a little fuzzy as to what he said. Well, it was sloppily written, so I'm going to rule this way. And then when they had a chance to overturn Obamacare, like a year, year and a half later, he said, if we deconstruct it now and take it all apart, it's going to be way too just. It's going to be too. It's going to really mess things up. So just leave it as it is. Thomas is basically saying these are the rules. He's an originalist, and he says you can't just make up rights out of nowhere. In the 14th Amendment, you're not entitled to whatever it is in there. The idea is that this is a state issue. Why aren't people marching on Washington every year over gay rights and saying stop gay rights? There are 500,000 people, 700,000 people. Where's the case on that? They won't. The Supreme Court won't hear on that. He's just simply saying, Thomas is saying, be consistent. If we do it for this, then you have to look at those other times where you all of a sudden find out a whole cloth somewhere that there's a right in there to this or a right for that. He's just trying to be consistent on the thing. It won't come before the Supreme Court. No one's going to challenge it. No one's going to challenge interracial marriage. No one's going to challenge contraception. No one's going to challenge gay rights. You just won't have it, because here's what it gets down to. The people that are pro-life are pro-life, and they believe that that baby is sacred and is a life and should be protected by the state. That's why they're so upset. And
but
that's,
if they were to influence, if you're saying that their influence became a part of this decision, then that sort of defies the whole idea that this was strictly a constitutional decision. This was based on the fact that that according to the law, that there was no constitutional right to this. So the influence of the people should have had no effect on this, that this was just being looked at as a strictly constitutional issue, regardless of public demand or, you know, how loud they screamed or the horrible, fetuses that they, so it really shouldn't have had an impact.
Well, it had an impact in the fact that states then came up with laws like Mississippi, the heartbeat, Texas, the heartbeat, that sort of thing. So the states pushed it forward and brought the case forward. Supreme Court batted the way many times. And then finally they said, we will hear this case. So they decide to hear this case. And when they hear the case, those jurists sitting on the Supreme Court were able to say, there is nowhere in the Constitution that you have a right to privacy as was written out of whole cloth in 1973. So, yes, there was influence, not the people screaming and yelling that moved the court. The people screaming and yelling went to their local lawmakers and said, we want a law. And then that law got challenged, and then it goes to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is the separate body, not writing laws, just determining within the framework of the Constitution, is this a law that passes muster within the Constitution? Is this a right that you have in that Constitution? You have a right to bear arms. You have a right to assemble. You have a right to have grievance against your government. You have a right to see the rights that are in there. Where is the right to privacy? Where is the right to abortion? And they're simply saying, give it back to the states. Let them determine. I love this idea. Listen, I'm not getting it into the bundle of cells or, fetus and when is it viable and not viable and all that. Take that away. This really is a chance to say, hey, look at this. All parts of the government are working effectively. There's the executive, there's the legislative, there's the judicial. All three parts separate, all three parts doing the thing they're supposed to do. Once the court starts writing laws, then we have a big, big problem, because now they're not electable and you can't get rid of them. You can't, let's see the people have a problem with the law that the Supreme Court passes. Now let's vote one of those Supreme Court members out. You can't. By keeping it separate, it keeps it more pure. Yes, it is a political body in that the Republicans have put more judges in there than others, and they make the argument. They get a chance to convince one way or the other on this. And on this one, they kick it back to the states. I think most people would be rejoicing democracy. Here's former Attorney General Rob McKenna talking about it.
There's a lot of evidence that before Roe v. Wade, the country was generally trending towards more rights to an abortion on a state-by-state basis. And the pro-life movement was born out of Roe v. Wade. It didn't really exist as a force before Roe v. Wade. So there's this enormous unintended consequence that's been created by Roe v. Wade that's resulted in tremendous polarization driven people to choose sides.
Yeah, very similar to what Ruth Bader Ginsburg said in that interview in Chicago, I think in 2015. She said it created the momentum by pulling it all and putting it in the Supreme Court. And then you had the people that were, because it's much easier to go down there and scream and yell and get off buses and hold up signs of aborted fetuses because it's at the Supreme Court's feet. If it was at each state, it would be a different situation. You could then lobby your elected officials to change laws, to do this and do that. But there it is back at the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court should not be in there writing laws. Dave Ross had a chance to talk more to Rob McKenna. Is there any value in proposing a constitutional amendment regarding the right to privacy?
That's the proper way to create a new constitutional right. It's the most long-lasting way to create a new constitutional right, amend the Constitution. The challenge with it, of course, is the difficulty in amending the Constitution, which is why we haven't done it for many decades.
Right. There you go. Write that in there. Rather than trying to find it somewhere in the 14th. Look at this. You do have a right to You got our son? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, okay. I could see how we could get that. Yeah, you got a right to privacy.
I do understand what you're saying, and I do understand the argument for making this, making it a state issue so people can argue it or, you know, vote on it in a different way. It's just that in the interim, while those things get decided, there are so many lives that are going to be affected by this. There are so many women out there that are going to be left stranded with no options. And that's the part that's really, really unfortunate. There are a lot of companies that are going to make it easier for women. Disney, Meta, Condé Nast, Zillow, BuzzFeed, Amazon. They are providing a lot of, you know, money to go to. They'll cover costs if you have to travel more than 100 miles to get an abortion. They're going to help with that. But the Wall Street Journal had an interesting article about the fact that they aren't really coming out. I mean, they're saying they're a lot of them already been saying abortion, that this is such a sticky issue that some of them are simply talking about reproductive rights and things like that, but they're not giving it that big statement or that big push. A lot of them aren't, like they did say with Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, I do have a problem again with euphemisms, right? Let's call it this instead of that. Mm-hmm. Call it what it is. It's abortion. The person has become pregnant. Now you could say, well, they didn't know that they were pregnant. Most abortions occur prior to 15 weeks. But you could say, just call it what it is. It's not women's reproductive rights. It is abortion. And if you just call it what it is and then you face it. And listen, having experienced it and knowing, having been through it with a past girlfriend and seeing her face. I remember she came back from college. This is I left in February. And she was being really sort of distant and strange. And then I remember sitting there in her little apartment, and she broke down and cried and told me what had happened over Christmas. And from that time, I always loved her, but this strange connection in the what she had to do and didn't involve me in it. So I get it. It's not something I think that most women are fairly callous about. There are women that are march around and say, scream about how many abortions you've had, but they're reacting to what they see as the push from the other side. I think Dow Constantine said that we're going to have about $1 million of your money and my money, and he's going to put that aside in a fund. So if women from Idaho, and it is women that get pregnant, by the way, come here to the state of Washington and will need medical care, we, the taxpayers of Washington, will fund their abortion.
So the governors of Washington, California, and Oregon have made a multi-state commitment to defend access to abortion and contraception. So the multi-state commitment to reproductive freedom will protect patients and medical professionals. It will refuse fugitive extradition for individuals for criminal prosecution and defend and expand access to an abortion. So that means if you come from one of these states where they're mm-hmm. saying, hey, you're going to be prosecuted for this, they will not help the state get you back to that state so you can be prosecuted. Dow Constantine wants $1 million in emergency funding to bolster abortion care in Washington and to help with out-of-state people, you know, if women to come in mm-hmm. and if they needed the services.
Yeah. So about 1,500 abortions performed in Idaho. Women had 1,500 abortions in 2020 or 2021. Average cost for an abortion is about $750. So about $1.4 million you'd need to have set up there. Here's what this is really also about. This is my own cynical view of politicians. You're going to have a chance right after Roe v. Wade was thrown back to the states, after the Supreme Court was within about an hour, I got an email from my buddy Senator Patty Murray asking me to donate to her campaign.
Oh, there's no doubt they'll exploit this. Of course.
Right.
Certainly they will. They're politicians.
Yeah. And I saw the story about the woman that was in Malta, and she suffered sort of a partial miscarriage, and then she was unable, even in Malta, you can't get. Did you see Seattle's Morning News did this there, right? You can't get an abortion, so she had to fly
to Spain,
about an hour and a half flight to Spain. So she goes there to get it done. So I looked up Malta, and I saw that a great majority of people in Malta, both parties, one extreme liberal, one very conservative, they both hold the party line on no abortions, no abortion services, none of it. Because the majority of people there in Malta also, it's about 68 to 73%, are hardline, nothing, no abortions, no way, no how. So the people there have elected those officials to make sure that they hold the line and have no abortions. That's the rule that came out of Malta. That was not created by some court. That was the people of Malta saying that's what they want. It's a very Catholic, very Christian country. By the way, if you go to Jamaica and you happen to also suffer the same sort of thing of partial miscarriage, there's no abortions in Jamaica either. So you'd have to fly out of there. There are a number of countries where they just simply don't have it. But in Malta, there's a democracy, there's a government, one person, one vote, and those are the elected officials that are there, and this is the rules that they have. They're thinking of starting to loosen it just a little bit, but in that case, the husband and wife happened to be in Malta. She had a medical problem. She was unable to get additional services. She'd be septic. She can get sick. And then, boy, once that happens, I mean, she could lose her life. So they flew her out.
Right. Yep. Thankfully.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. Checking traffic, see how we're doing. Coming around to the bottom part here, 5:30. Since the teeny tiny lady is not here to choose the letter of the day, she's listening to the show, though. Oh, my God, she is funny. Did she send you that picture, Sherry? She sent a photo of herself.
No, I didn't.
You didn't get it. All right. You can write to us. Do love to hear from you. One of you will be the great honor of Letter of the Day. Ba-ba-ba-ba. All right. Hey, Andrew, do you have the Send Us Your Letter song anywhere nearby?
Do I?
Often. Yeah.
Hang on.
Listen to the music while you're doing that. Like this one.
The eagles that were soaring above us.
Too late, girly.
Oh, wow. Awkward.
Uh-huh. Yep. Okay. All right.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
I've noticed that the squeaky hamster wheel is no longer around. That's all right, though. You write to us at mynorthwest.com. You can text us welcome in the State Roofing Test Line, 1-888-973-5476. All are welcome. Teeny!
Get anybody yelling around here anymore today, and then the is going to hit the fan.
Send us a letter.
Hey, check out my ding-a-ling.
Excellent!
There we go. Got it all in there for you, Sherry. Happy?
Wow. Yeah, happy now? I like that. Good job.
We did this story last week, I believe, that they made the big announcement in Florida. Congratulations, everybody. It's that time of year again where you can go out and hunt giant pythons. You'll get $1,500 if you get one, and then you bring it in, and it's a big thing. Everybody loves to run around and wrestle a gigantic snake. Well, you'd know it would, pretty soon news would come around that the largest ever Florida python has been discovered, hopefully by somebody trying to win a gift certificate to Applebee's or something. And, the contents of the stomach, thank God for this story, will blow your mind and possibly make you lose your lunch. What'd they find in the contents of the stomach of the python, Sherry?
Well, first of all, it was a female python, so that she had 120 eggs getting ready to go. So that would have been 120 little pythons that would have grown into the big python that she was. By the way, she was, I think, how much was she? 215 pounds. They found some tan goop with bits of fur, some dissolved bone, and three intact hoof cores belonging to a deer.
Good God.
Now, how did it get to a deer? Is there a way the python could have gotten out of the Everglades, and or would a deer go into them?
A deer go into the Everglades?
Yeah, I mean, it just, where did they come, where did it come in contact with the deer?
Possibly
at a bar?
At a bar, or maybe a convention where the python was disguised as a deer.
It's a male deer, hence the 120 eggs.
I'm looking it up now. Python swallows deer in viral video. If you're brave enough to watch.
No. Oh, that's so mean.
Why is that mean?
Deer. Because you don't want to watch a python eat a deer. That's mean.
What do you want a python? What do you want to watch a python eat?
Another python. You know, somebody pick on its own size. I mean, a lizard, another reptile.
Oh, I see. So you're okay with them going, be no cross species where all of a sudden they're dining on something that's got brown goo and hooves, huh?
Right. That's it. They found 73 animal species have been discovered in all these pythons. So 24 mammals, 47 birds, and 2 reptiles so far. So this, I don't know if this is part of the big contest, the big catch, you know, where they're trying to scope out these pythons and win money, or if it was just an independent python catcher.
My father tells a story of being, I think it was North Carolina or South Carolina. There are snakes all the time just slithering around because, you know, they're cold-blooded. So they go up on rocks or they go on the golf course. They're up on the green of the golf course and they're just laying there in the sun in the afternoon of a Hilton Head, South Carolina. That's where it was. And apparently the caddies are used to just sort of just going up there because everyone's, whoa, Mike, the snake. And it's laying there and slithering all over the place. So this caddy just goes up, grabs the snake by the tail. I don't know if it's poisonous or not. I think the rule is red next to yellow, not a nice fellow. Red next to yellow, next to white. Andrew, check that one out for me, please. Or Matthew, wake up from that deep slumber. Then when the colors are close together with the thing, it's a nice snake or not a nice snake. See, I wouldn't remember, and I'd go over and the thing would
start eating. You mean the Gadsden flag with the snake on it?
No. Red next to yellow, not a nice fellow. It's like when you come across a snake, as you look at the colors on the stripes, you have the little rhyme, and then you know, ooh, that one's a poisonous one, or that's a good one or a bad one.
Oh, kind of like when it's brown, lie down, when it's black, fight back for bears?
There's that, or if it's yellow, let it mellow. If it's brown, flush it down when it comes to bathrooms. But, Andrew, I know you're just stalling by throwing out things that rhyme, but I'm really looking for snake stripe colors right now. Anybody? Anyone?
Red touch yellow, kill a fellow.
Yes, good.
I don't know. That's the first. I don't know what that means.
Oh, this is just a cool little funny streak that I have.
That's right.
Your favorite.
Yes. Okay. That's not a nice fella. Right. Anyway, the
red
caddy
touching
walks
black,
up.
Safe for Jack. Red touching black,
there you go.
Safe for Jack. Red touching yellow, kill a fellow.
There you go. Write that down, folks, over the weekend. That'll come in handy. The guy goes over, grabs the snake by the tail, and goes to just sort of wing it, like just sort of throw it. And as he's just the caddy's going to sort of throw it. My father said he had had a few. He goes to let it go, and it slips out of his hand and flies over and hits a guy right in the face. One of my dad's fellow golfers.
Oh, no.
Because as he pulled it back like this, as he goes to, like, release it, have you ever seen anybody throw it? When Fauci threw in a really bad first pitch, and it kind of goes way wild, he hit a guy standing off to the side right in the face. And later on at the clubhouse, he goes, I saw the snake coming at me. I didn't know what to do. So I just yelled. And you're like, yeah, that did it. Just yell. Thwack,
did he
right
do,
in the face.
Did he do the thing where, like, he moved his hands down really fast? Like,
ah! No, it hit him in the face, and it fell onto the ground.
Oh, that's a hard hit. Gross.
Oh, red next to white, duck when it's in flight. I think that's the other one that's included in
now
the
it
rhyming
is.
Thing. There it is. Got it. All righty. Coming around the bend. Here we go. All right. Here's the mailman. Mailman's going to come in with a mailman letter. Feel free to add any sound effect you want to the end of the mailman song.
I'm the mailman, as you can see.
Your choice.
I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me.
Darling.
I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Nicely done.
Is this where you put it in a sock?
Exactly. All right, Tini is not here. She's enjoying herself. These photos are crazy. Oh, that's not funny, Teeny. I mean, she's listening. She, you know, she's got a little nasty sign. She drew a picture of you, Sherry. All right, uh-huh. We'll get to letter of the day first. Let's take care of all the rest. Here we go.
Okay, abortion. This is from Darla.
Uh-huh.
If there's a supermajority of Republicans in the Senate and House, and then there was a Republican president, there is a likely chance that abortion will be federally banned. Then everyone's affected. Should we just wait around and see if that happens?
Well, you'd have to see. Would they be able to pass that in the Senate? Thank you, Sherry, for speaking for women who need options. Not every woman who will have an abortion, but they need to be able to go in and talk with someone about options. It's scary for them to have government look at my body and tell me what I can do to it. Like a vaccine. I added a vaccine. That was me. I threw that in.
Okay. Let me help John out. Democracy shouldn't be involved in what a woman does with her body. I didn't know a woman's body could be compared to taxes, property, etc. that we vote on. Must be nice to be a man.
Okay. Pop says, I would have been an orphan if it weren't for those rights being protected because of a tubular pregnancy my mom had when I was a toddler. Where is the protection of a mom's life that is in imminent danger? Okay.
425 says you're forgetting something. If those of us in same-sex marriage lose our federal protections, we will no longer be able to file taxes together, be eligible for each other's Social Security benefits in the event of death, or even be able to make medical decisions for each other without having to go and prepare documents giving us the right to do so. There's a lot more at stake here than you realize.
Okay. Well, so far, I think you're going to be okay. 206, a sample of rights now, throwing gay marriage, interracial marriage, gay sex, gay adoption, interracial adoption, and contraception. Let me just stop right here. The Supreme Court gets about 170 some cases that they reject every single year. You're going to have somebody have damage, show that their civil rights were somehow violated, then it has to go to court, then the court decides whether or not, then it can be appealed and then go forward, and then the Supreme Court will have to hear the case. What will the case be? And it works its way through the process, and they would have to determine that there's a lot of steps here. Don't let people scare you. It's the same thing as the COVID, folks. Just look at the numbers and understand how the system works. Sorry, go ahead, Sheree.
Okay, this is about memories of deceased loved ones. 206 says, John, my father also died from a quick cancer, 3 months. I only wish my dad had acknowledged that a goodbye should have occurred.
Cost of living for family, 206 says, did you not see what is this
dissonance?
Writing? Dissonance between outlawing abortion and then also removing money that helps kids. If the government interferes, they need to clean up the mess.
Okay. Trust in authorities. I'm not, 360 says, I'm not an anti-vaxxer, but I found it frustrating that they decided to change the death statistics when the vaccine was released. Uh-huh. Before vaccine, they were counting all COVID and comorbidity deaths. After vaccine was released, related deaths to make the vaccine look more effective.
Hey, give us a shout out. Brad and Janelle say, Curly, we're going to Roslyn for some camping and some fishing. Give us a shout out. Okay, I'll see you guys at Logan's on Saturday.
Sherry's trip to Seattle. Mella from Anchorage says, not sure what you did to get sent to Seattle, Sherry, but I give you a week tops, lose the umbrella, and pack your patience. It's exactly what I got, a week.
Did you pack your patience?
I'm going to put it. I'll do it Sunday.
No more than 3 ounces of patience. let's see. What's this? Oh, that's letter of the day. Oh, there it is right there. Teeny?
Big buddy. Big buddy fan.
Now it is time for the letter of the day.
Whoa, Teeny!
I thought she was off today or
That's
working
crazy.
From home.
That's crazy. She's in the jar. She's over there.
Oh, okay.
Teeny.
Yeah.
All right.
Here we go.
Sorry.
425. John, I'm with you. I've been using the nicotine gum for a while. I couldn't get through work without it. I work for a health insurance company, and when the stuff goes wrong, I chew like Pete Carroll when the sea chickens are sucking.
Running up and down, back and forth there in the office. Good for you.
All right, who was that?
Somebody from the Letter of the Day. I don't know who that was. It's a great honor there. All right, have a fabulous weekend. You're on a plane coming out here on Sunday. I'll try to make an appointment to text you when you arrive.
I appreciate that. I'll be ready.
As far as I'll go. All right, good.